Sorry about that. I love your topic, and I could not think of a better topic myself, and I have been given the title of the facts of the gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 5, and so you can turn there if you like, and we'll get there. I promise I'm not going to do like some preachers do and preach on everything else besides the topic. But we're not just going to be there. We're going to be in also 1 Peter chapter 3, if you'd like to turn over there and mark that. We'll be there momentarily, and then we will be at several other places. We had a guy come and speak for us at Farley back this summer during the summer series, and I called him up and gave him the topic, and he just laughed and said, "Well, does it really matter?" And I said, "What do you mean by that?" And he said, "You know what we as preachers do." And I said, "No, what do we do?" And he said, "Well, we just take that topic and we just throw it in there one place in the sermon and preach whatever we want to preach." And I said, "No, we don't all do that, but so I'm not doing that, okay?" But we're going to look at the gospel of Jesus Christ in this passage. And I do have a handout, if I can have a couple of guys help out with this. Thank you. This is a very fundamental lesson, and fundamental is good. Sometimes we need to brush up on the basics, and who knows, you may have never heard some of this before, that some of this may be new to you. And I'm constantly surprised at brethren who have been Christians for some time who do not know sometimes some of the basics of the gospel. And so hopefully you will learn something tonight from this. Just to show you what we're going to be doing tonight, first of all, we're going to ask three questions and answer them. And then the fourth question I'm going to ask, and you have to answer for yourself. Number one, why do we need the gospel of Jesus Christ? There is a lot of people who have no idea why they need the gospel. They don't see the need of it, and so we need to see why we need the gospel. Secondly, what is the gospel? So we'll get into the facts of the gospel there, talking about what exactly the gospel is. Thirdly, what does the gospel do for me? We are all Americans, and so as Americans, we always are looking at what's in it for me a lot of times. And so what does the gospel do for me? How do I benefit from the gospel? And then the fourth and last, what are you doing with the gospel? And I won't answer that. You'll have to answer that yourself. So are you ready? All right, we'll start up. Number one, why do we need the gospel of Jesus Christ? Like I said, a lot of people do not obey the gospel and are not interested in church and religion, not interested in Jesus Christ, because they have no idea that there's a need, that there's a need at all. When you look at the word gospel, going back to the first century and the original language, Greek, the word gospel means good news. Somebody asked me when I came in a little bit ago, "Do you have anything good to tell us?" And I said, "Yes, the gospel. I'm going to be preaching on the gospel." So it is the good news, but not only the good news, but it is the good news that the Messiah is coming. That's what the original meaning of the word means. Well, when you talk about good news, and you talk about the Messiah, you talk about a Savior, well, that indicates that, well, there's got to be some bad news, right? Anytime there's good news, there's bad news also. And anytime we need a Savior, well, what do we need to be saved from? And so we need to look at why we need the gospel. And I promise I won't go too much into this, because I'm sure Brother DeMar did an excellent job with this yesterday. But just simply looking at three passages on why we need the gospel. Then we'll move on from that. But number one, we sin. We sin. Well, what is sin exactly? Well, sin is unrighteousness, 1 John 3 and verse 4. It is unlawlessness, 1 John 5 and verse 17. But here in Romans 3 and verse 23, that word sin, going back to the first century, had to do with an archer. And an archer would set up a target, and he would put a bullseye on that target, and he would get back, and he would shoot arrows at that target. And when he would miss that target, the word that he actually used there is the same word that is found in Romans 3:23, and it means to miss the mark. So he missed his target, he missed the mark. And so we all miss the mark, and that very word and that passage of Scripture indicates that there is a standard that has been set by God for us, right? You cannot miss something that has not been set for you. So there is a standard that has been set for us, and each and every one of us has missed that mark. I don't care who you are. And so we sin, but second of all, sin separates us from God. We serve a holy God, a righteous God, a God that is sinless, a God that cannot be in the presence of sin. And Isaiah 59 there teaches us that it is the sin that actually separates us from God. It separates us, it actually destroys the very reason why we were created. We were created for fellowship with God, and sin actually destroys the very reason why we were created. And then number three, the consequences of sin is condemnation. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. But let's turn and look at Ephesians chapter 2. And I think we get a little bit more insight on exactly what this does to our relationship with God. Ephesians chapter 2. And if you want to hold that, we're going to look at the first three verses, and then we're going to go back and look at a couple more verses a little bit later. Beginning with verse 1, he says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all," notice he says all, that's every single one of us, "we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." So because I was dead to God and I was dead to my sin, then I lived my life however I wanted to, basically fulfilling the lust of the flesh and fulfilling my own desires and doing whatever I want to do. And so as a consequence of that, I am condemned to die eternally. Each and every one of us, if we got what we deserve, not just me, but everybody in this room, if we got what we deserved, we would spend eternity in hell. And it does not get any more blunt than that. And if that rubs you the wrong way, then you have way too high of an opinion of yourself, because we're all in the same boat. We've all sinned. And that sin is going to separate us from God. And so why exactly do we need the gospel? Well, number one, we sin. That sin separates us from God, and that sin is going to condemn us. So let's move on to number two now. What exactly is the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, Paul says in Romans 1 and verse 16 that it is the power of God to salvation. And so it's God's power to save us. Well, what exactly is that? How did God use his power to save us? Well, Paul says, getting to our text now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says that I declare to you the gospel, I preach to you the gospel, by which you stand, in which you were saved, and he says that Jesus Christ died for your sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. So that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. The death, burial, and resurrection is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is also how God deals with our sin. So how does the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus deal with our sin? Well, let's look at this text in 1 Peter chapter 3. And we'll stay here for just a little bit. 1 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse 18, first of all. There he says, "For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust." So there's a few different things that you see here. We'll just stop there for just a moment. First of all, none of us came up with a way to deal with our sins. You know, sometimes I think that we like to think that we can pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps and we can do things ourselves. None of us came up with a way to deal with our sins. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ, is the fact that God came up with a way to deal with our sins. Well, how did he deal with our sins? Well, secondly, God deals with our sins through Jesus Christ. Notice he says, Christ also died for our sins, the just for the unjust. So how did God deal with our sins? Well, through Jesus Christ, through his sacrifice on the cross. And something that you don't see in the English translation here, that in the Greek, the word just here is a singular noun, and the word unjust here is a plural noun. And so honestly, if you want to be more accurate, you could say that Christ died for our sins, the just one for the unjust many. The unjust, or the just one, he never committed sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, the Bible says, for the unjust many. Every single one of us has sinned. And then thirdly, God dealt with our sins once and for all. Notice he says, for Christ suffered once, meaning that everything, every sin that you've ever committed, every sin that I've ever committed, was dealt with and handled by Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Every bit of that went away because of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Isn't that a blessing? That is a tremendous blessing for us. And this kind of goes back to the Old Testament sacrificial system, of the Levitical priesthood. If you want to turn to Hebrews chapter 10, we'll talk about that for just a moment. But in Hebrews chapter 10, it talks about how these Levitical priests would have to make sacrifices for the people, and they had to continuously do that. But that was a shadow of things to come. It says that that could not actually take away sin, but actually push that sin forward to the time of Christ. And it says that that is actually a shadow, but Jesus is the substance. That's Hebrews 10 verses 1 through 4. And it also says in verse 11 of that chapter that he had to do so continuously. It actually says daily there. He had to minister daily for the people. But yet Christ died one time. One time. Verse 10 says once and for all. Verse 12 there says one time forever. And so what is the gospel? It is the power of God to save us. Well, how exactly did he do that? He did that through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, what exactly did that do? Well, that is how God decided to deal with our sin. Now, moving on to number 3. Well, what does that do for me? I know as Americans, I mean, we're all pretty much wanting to see, how do I benefit from this, right? How do I benefit from the gospel? Well, let's look at a few things. First of all, it brings me back to God. Going back to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, and when he talks about that Christ suffered and died for our sins once and for all, and it says, so that he might bring us to God. And so what is that saying? That's saying that the whole reason why Christ died for our sins was in order to bring us back to that good relationship with God. Remember, we looked at Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, that sin separates us from God. And that we've all sinned, and so Christ suffered so that we can be brought back to God. Well, what else does it do? Makes me alive. Ephesians chapter 2 talks about being dead in our sins and trespasses. Let's go back to that and look. Ephesians chapter 2. We've already looked at verses 1 through 3 where he talks about being dead in sin and trespasses. But notice verse 4, he says, But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And so we were dead in our sins and our transgressions, and yet through Jesus Christ we have been made alive in a spiritual way so we can live again. So what does it do? Well, it brings me back into a good relationship with God, access to God, fellowship with God. It makes me alive when I was once dead. What else does it do? Gives me eternal life. Remember, we looked at Romans 6:23, the very first of that passage. Really, the entire first part of Romans is talking about how every single one of us has sinned. Jew, Gentile, Greek, it doesn't matter who you are, we've all sinned. And Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. But what does it say after that? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we pay the wages of sin, or the wages for death, by sinning, basically. In other words, we earn our death. Does that make sense? Every single one of us sins, and so we pay for that and we earn our death, but our salvation in eternal life is a gift. We don't earn that. It's given to us through Jesus Christ. What else does the gospel do? It saves me. A lot of people out in the world that has no idea that they're even lost. Saves me from what? Saves me from eternal damnation? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 there, it's talking about how Christ is going to return. There were people, there were Christians that were suffering, they were being persecuted, and it says that Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul, said that Christ will return from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who, two different kinds of people, those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. You mean there's something that has to be obeyed? Do you know how many people there are in the world that have no idea that there's actually something that you have to do in order to receive this free gift of salvation? There's actually something that has to be obeyed. Well, so that poses a very obvious question. What do I supposed to obey? How do I obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? We've already talked about how the gospel of Jesus Christ, according to Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which is our text, is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is a fact. And so how do you obey a fact? Do you know? Let's go to Romans chapter 6. And you can look at your handout. But before we look at this, let's ask a couple of questions. First of all, what is it about Jesus' death that cleanses us of our sin? Do you know? It's His blood, right? Leviticus 17 and verse 11 says that it is the blood that makes atonement for sin. That word, what in the world is atonement? That word atonement is very easy to remember. This is an easy way to remember what atonement means. Break it down. At-one-ment. Atonement means at one with God. And so Leviticus 17:11 says it is the blood that makes that atonement that brings us back at one with God. Hebrews 9:22 says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no forgiveness. So in other words, looking at those passages and several others, we have to have a sacrifice of blood in order to have forgiveness of sins. Would you agree on that? And Ephesians 1 verse 7 says, in Him, talking about Jesus Christ, in Him we have redemption, get this, through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Peter says in 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19 that we're not redeemed with silver and gold from our aimless conduct, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And so what is it about Jesus' death that cleanses us from our sin? Blood, right? The blood of Jesus. Okay, where did He shed that blood? On the cross, in His death. When you sacrifice something, that blood is spilled and shed when you sacrifice it, when you kill that particular thing. And so when Jesus died on the cross, when He was hung up and killed on the cross, that's when He shed His blood in His death. Okay, well, how do we appropriate that blood? How do we come in contact with that blood? Well, looking at this passage right here, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The gospel is what saves us, Romans 1 and verse 16. It is the blood that gives atonement for sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness, Hebrews 9:22. And so let's look now at Romans chapter 6 and see how both of these go together. Beginning at verse 1, he says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Do you see the connection there? Verse 4, therefore we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we should be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him. When were we crucified with him? In baptism. We're still alive, and so of course it's not talking about it in a physical way, it's talking about it in a spiritual way. So it's in baptism that we come in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ, and that we are crucified to ourselves. In order, he says there in verse 6, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. So do you see a connection there? So the gospel is the good news that a Savior has come. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the blood that makes atonement for sin, Ephesians 1:7 and many other passages. Christ shed his blood in his death, and it is in baptism where we reenact the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then Paul says in verse 4 of that passage that we rise up from that watery grave of baptism to what? To walk in newness of life. So do you see the connection there? Isn't the gospel wonderful? What separated us from God? Sin. We lost our access to God. We lost our fellowship with God by sin. What did the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ do? Well, it brought us back into that fellowship with God. We need the gospel, don't we? I need the gospel. You need the gospel. America needs the gospel. The whole world needs the gospel. Every single one of us are in need of the gospel. Let me say this for just a moment. We are getting closer and closer to the election. And I know that some of us are just as nervous as we can be, aren't we? Some of us are just downright scared. And I understand that it is important to vote. It's important who we vote for, and it's important who we have as our president in Washington, D.C. It's very important. But let me say this. Change, the change that we need in this country is not from Washington, D.C. The change that we need is the change that is made in our hearts that comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ that is given to us by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the change that we need. And when we finally realize that and we allow God to make that change in our life by obeying the gospel, having that relationship with Him, He changes us from the inside out. And as Paul says, that it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me, Galatians 2:20. And if we want a good country and the kind of country that we had years ago, that's what we need more than anything else. And if we would be half as passionate about spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ as we are about our favorite college football team, then we could make a difference. You think? If we could have the passion about spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ as we do about our politics, as strong as we feel about that, we could change this nation. But it starts with us. Who are we telling about Jesus Christ? That leads to number 4, and that is, what are we doing with the gospel? I want to ask you 2 questions that you'll have to answer for yourself. Number 1 is, of course, have you believed and obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? You may have been raised in the church, and I've talked to a lot of people like this, that are raised in the church and they've been around the gospel their entire life, but being around the gospel and obeying the gospel are 2 completely different things. And you may have heard sermons like this. This is as fundamental gets. And you may have heard sermons like this your entire life, but knowing the facts of the gospel that I've stated just now and obeying the gospel are 2 completely different things. The gospel is good news, but it's only good news to those who obey the gospel and experience that salvation. Have you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Have you been buried in the waters of baptism to come to reenact that death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, to come in contact with that blood, to rise up, to walk in newness of life? And if you have not, we want to encourage you and urge you to do that this evening. In just a moment, we'll have an invitation song, and please come forward if you want to do that. If you want to study the Bible some more and you have some questions, then get with Otis or one of the elders here, and please let them know. Study with me if you'd like. But please do not leave here without obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, especially those of you who have heard it your entire life, but for whatever reason, you do not obey it. It's not going to do you any good. We urge you to obey the gospel. Second question is for everybody who has obeyed the gospel. Some of us have been Christians for a long time and kind of become a little bit complacent, and that is, are you sharing the gospel? We had a campaign this year at Farley, and it went really well, but we got out into the community and we shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with a lot of people. And to be honest with you, we didn't have many conversions. I think we ended up with about 7 conversions. That's a lot for today, though, honestly. I mean, it is here in America. It is in this part, seems like. I want to challenge you. I want to leave you with a challenge. Share the gospel with someone this week. Say, well, I feel inadequate. Do you know how inadequate I feel to stand up here and preach? You have no idea. Hopefully it doesn't show. It probably does. So I'm not really sure how to do that. Tell your story. Tell how you became a Christian. Just open up to somebody and say, hey, can I tell you how I became a Christian? Just start talking to them about it. And as you talk to them about it, center, make everything, make your whole story center around Jesus Christ. So often when we tell people about Jesus, what we do, and I've been guilty of this, is we start talking about all the sin that we've committed and how bad that sin was, and you have no idea what all I've done, and then we say, and I obeyed the gospel, I became a Christian. And that's it. They know what it's like to live in sin. They're living in it. What they need to hear is how wonderful Jesus Christ is and how He changes our lives. So I challenge you, do that, and when you tell your story of how you came to know Jesus and obeyed the gospel, just talk about your sin a little bit, but talk about Jesus a whole lot. Make Him the very center of your story. And you might be thinking, well, Mark, I'm just not good at that kind of thing. A lot of us are not. Can He really use me? I want to tell you a true story that will answer that. I don't care who you are, He can use you. There was an African lady who was about 70 years old that had very poor health. She was blind and she was not educated. And she became a Christian. A missionary got to her, taught her about Jesus Christ, and she obeyed the gospel. Well, she was so on fire about that she wanted to share the gospel with everybody, but she was blind and was not really able to do so. So what she did is she asked this missionary, she came to the missionary and said, would you do me a favor? Will you take my Bible? And it was a French Bible, and she lived in a French-speaking country. And she said, will you take my Bible and turn to John 3:16 and underline that in red? And so he did that. And then she went just outside a school and just set her a chair there and sat there. And when the bell rang each and every day and those kids were coming out of school, she would say, hey, do you speak French? And if they did, she would hand them that Bible and say, will you read that underlined passage right there? And they would read John 3:16. And then she would just ask, do you understand that? And if they said no, then she would share the gospel with them. And that missionary said that she converted dozens of young people just by doing that. You're not inadequate. You can share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And, you know, God doesn't want to condemn anybody. That's why we have the gospel. He sent Jesus Christ so that we don't have to be condemned. And He doesn't want to condemn anybody. I've talked to several people over the years that have made the statement that I cannot understand how a loving God could send anybody to hell. Have you heard that? Let me give you a quote concerning that. If I can find it. Here it is. It's Ralph E. Powell, and this is in Baker's Encyclopedia of the Bible. It says, and I quote, "If the question is raised, how can a loving God send men to an everlasting hell? It must be replied that God does not choose this destiny for men. They freely choose it for themselves. God simply concurs in their self-chosen way and reveals the full consequences of their evil choice." What's your choice? He's given us Jesus Christ. He's given us the gospel. All we have to do is choose to obey it. If you have a need this evening, if you have not obeyed the gospel, we want to urge you to do that. If you want to know more about that, please let us know. If you have a need at all, please come while together we stand and sing.